Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
God's Spirit is interested in you. Say, God's Spirit
is interested in me.
Now I want that to sink. Think about it. Now say it again. God's Spirit is interested in me. He is. And He wants to be more productive with you. That's His desire. He wants to be more productive with you. And so there's something He wants to bring to your awareness today. That's what I'm going to share. And then subsequent classes will delve into other thoughts. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But this one is priority in His mind. And so I think you should hear it and take it seriously. So let's go. Go to Hebrews 11. Verse 3. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. So we are all there. I'll read it. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'll read it again. It says, through faith, we understand. It says, we are beginning to understand something, through faith, that the worlds were framed by the word of God. First, they use the word worlds. How many worlds are there?
Several
worlds. How many worlds do you know? Huh? Two. Okay. Let's hear them. Talk. Two words. What are the two words? Who said two? Ezine is not here. Okay, let me ask again. How many words are there? I mean, if you read this verse, that should catch your attention. If you're not reading like newspaper. It says, true faith, we understand that the worlds. So, firstly, does that mean there is life outside the earth? Maybe there's another world somewhere. Spiritual world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now, the word world there should have been age. All right. Dispensation. For example, in the 90s, it was a different dispensation in terms of technology. Then you had to go to the cyber cafe. I think even into the 2000s, there was this cyber cafe. You had to buy time, 30 minutes, and that 30 minutes you remain on one page. How many of you experienced that? Boy, life has changed. But then you had to go there. I remember when I was in year one, I went to the cyber cafe, spent hours there. But that was a different dispensation. We are in a different dispensation now. Now you have your phones in terms of technology. So when he says the worlds, he's talking about the dispensations, the seasons. All right? The seasons, the time. Think about it. The inventions we have now, why were they not invented in 1940 when there was World War? Why now? Because the Bible says the dispensations were framed. You know what you frame? You frame something that is valuable. You frame something that you don't want to spoil. You don't want to roughen up. That's what you frame. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
That's what you frame. And so every dispensation, God framed it. That's why the guy in 1940 could not think of Facebook. It was not in the frame. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
He couldn't. line upon line, precepts upon precepts. So every age was framed, fixed. So God fixed some things for some time. And then in the next few years, other things will begin to show up. But they were already planned. Do you understand?
Yes,
he said nothing is a surprise to God. 2030, God already planned what would happen then, the kind of technology we would use. For example, 2020, we thought there would be flying cars. We don't have that yet. So maybe that was not in the frame. Now, we think 2030, we might have flying shoes. We might not have that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But he's saying every age, every dispensation has been planned. Now, that means that the resources there are fixed. God has fixed some intellectual resources. So at that time, this is the intelligence that is displayed. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, Pastor.
Financial resources. So at that time, Bitcoin did not exist some years ago. It exists today. God fixed it. It's not a surprise to God. That means the people also have been fixed. That's why you were not born in 1922. That's why you were not born in 1960. God has fixed the people. He fixed them at the right time, at the right place to function there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To function there. So, bringing it home, that means where you are right now, God placed you there. It's part of the plan. You are in a country called Nigeria, and that was part of God's plan. It's his plan. You were fixed there. In the plan, the blueprint, you are there in that place. The streets where you're living, you might have gone there, you know, by chance. But God planned it. He framed it. That's why you could not go to another street. You were there for that time. Placed you there, place the right people there, and the right resources. That's what he's telling us. Verse 3 again, let's look at it. He says, through faith we understand that the ages were framed by the word of God. So this is your time.
This is my time.
And when you go back home, that your street is your street. You know, it gives you a sense of purpose for now. Because when you think, I mean, Ajegunle, but I want to move to Lekki, you might miss out on what you're supposed to do there. Because you're not conscious that God placed you there by himself. So while you're busy, I have to move to Lekki, you might miss out. But now what he's telling us is, God placed you there at this time. So this is your time and that is your place. And Jesus emphasized that. Go to Matthew. Matthew 13. This is your generation. This is your time. This is your dispensation.
It's my dispensation.
It is time for you to manifest. You know, that's what he's telling us. That's why you were not born, like I said, in 1940. It was not your time. If you had come then, only God knows. But it was not your time. You were not born in 1910 because it was not your time. This is your time. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're staying in a street and you have just 3 months there. It is still your street. God placed you there. Matthew 13. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
Now, Jesus had talked about the parable of the tares. He was telling them how that a man sowed good seed, and while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. And so the servant said, "All right, should we go and pluck out the tares?" He said, "No, let them grow. Let them grow." He said, "At the end of the age, you know, you can now separate them because it will be visible which one is a seed, which one is a tear." Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So if you're not meeting, you heard seed and tears, you just log off. And I'm sure disciples were wondering, what exactly is he talking about? So when he was done with the meeting, they asked him. And that's what I want you to see, to emphasize the fact that this is your time, this is your place. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
All right, verse 36. That company where you're working is your company. I'm talking about ownership. Do you understand? I'm saying you're there at this time. You're at the right place. The right place. You know, someone was trying to... You're in 36, Abby?
Yes,
just wait. Someone was trying to show how at times we lose touch of the now. So there's a song, "Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." Nothing about now. So we remember what we did in the past. We're looking forward to the future. Nothing about now. But Jesus said, "I must walk the works of him that sent me." The ninth comment. So he talked about the future. The ninth comment, when no man can walk. So today, I'm going to walk. I'm going to do something. So at times you want to leave the company and you lose sight of the fact that you're spending time there. That means for that period, that is your place. I'm going somewhere. 36. I read it. It says, "Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." So he's saying, you know the guy I was saying sow the good seed? It's me. It's me. This is not a parable now. You don't say the Son of Man is like a parable, so we have to understand what the Son of Man is. No, now he's saying, he's unveiling it to them. He's saying the person who sowed the good seed is me. So God sows. Are you in this place?
Yes,
he sows. He plants. And before you plant something, you choose a location that you think is good for that seed.
Yes.
All right. He says, verse 38, "The field is the world." Look at that. So God plants in the world. So the guy who is in China, it's not a mistake. It's not. Jesus said in John 15 verse 1 that his father is a husbandman, the gardener. So it's not a mistake. And remember,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He was talking about earlier, the sower who sowed his seeds in different grounds. Now that seed, he said, was the word. But here's my point. He said some seed fell on good soil and they produced fruits. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, for this parable, he's saying he is the one planting. So, if he's the one planting, that means he will plant his seed on good soil. That means wherever he planted, whoever he planted, is good. And should produce results. 38. The field is the world. Now, look at this. He says the good seed are the children of the kingdom. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. So you are planted where you are. He says you are a seed. That means you are an investment where you are. You are an investment. God's investment. God planted you. He invested you in the world. And when you sow seeds, you expect fruits. You expect harvests. And the fruit should have seed that looks like the original seeds.
Yes.
So if he planted you where you are, he's expecting people just like you. And I'm talking about your street, your department, your company, your industry. God looked at that industry and planted you there. So live in the now. Now, he planted you where you are. You're a seed. You might not have known it, but that's a fact. And every seed has potential. And you know what? If you're planting, okay, look at what he said. He said, the children of the kingdom are called what? Good seed. Not bad seed. Good seed. Meaning they are good.
Yes.
They are not spoiled. And then he planted them in good soil.
Yes.
Like I said, you have different seeds and different soils. Some seeds cannot thrive in a particular field. So why are you not in the US? Because this is your soil. Now, you can say, I want to go next year. Okay, when you go. But while you're here, this is your place. The Bible says, in Isaiah 61, Jesus said that was himself. He said, we are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why are you born, or were you born in that family? He says you are the planting of the Lord. God planted you there. It's not a mistake. You know, if we focus on now, we'll be full of gratitude and purpose. Gratitude and purpose. Not stretching your neck to where he has not placed you. And saying, if I had grown up, at least in Lekki environments, my mindset would be different. No. If you put in tough soil, that means you're tough seed.
Yes.
You're good enough. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is where he expects you to grow. Where you are right now. Where you are right now. And this is not new. Jesus in Luke 13 had expressed the same sentiments concerning the Jews. Let's go there. It's a short parable. He was talking about how they were sinners and unproductive. And so he said something. Luke 13, verse 6. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
If I was a seed and now I'm sure that I was planted in good soil, my only concern henceforth will be the farmer. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
The farmer. Would he water me on time? Would I receive the right light? The things that enable a seed to grow. But God is a good husbandman. He's a good one. He'll bring the water at the right time.
Yes.
The sun at the right time.
Yes.
Verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt what?
Cut it down.
So what he was saying was the Jews. He planted them, so he's likening them to a fig tree. He said he came and did not find fruit, so he said, okay, cut it down. But then the person in charge said, all right, wait, let's see what we can do. So it's the same sentiment. But what I want you to see here is, when he plants, he expects fruits. He expects results. But if you're too busy, focus on the future that you have not yet seen. Leaving that environment, leaving that company, you'll miss out. And every time given to you is a gift from God that you cannot get back. So there's nothing wrong with hoping for the future, but don't lose sight of today. And the fact that where you are right now, at this time, there's a purpose for your life. And the Spirit of God wants to walk with you concerning that purpose. So if you have this mindset that, yeah, I am an investment in this place. I'm an investment. I am God's investment. You'll be passionate about doing something where you are. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. John 15. John 15, verse 16. Zach, I'm running. Are you there?
Yes,
if you're not there, say, wait for me. All right. Verse 16. It says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. The Bible says, we are a chosen generation. He said, I have chosen you. And what? Ordained you. You don't need any other ordination. Every other one is just physical. The main ordination, the main anointing ceremony, he already did. I ordained you. That means, you know, when we talk about ordination, physically, you're sending people out. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
And if it's a company, it's not ordination. Maybe they'll give you the resources you need. So if they are going to appoint you as a minister of health, after the appointment, you should have your office ready. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Your car ready. Your staff ready. Your salary ready. So the appointment is what you call a show that all things are now ready. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It is when the guy finishes the appointment ceremony and he doesn't have anything that we are wondering what happened. Because if they are not ready, there should be no ceremony. The idea of the ceremony is everything is now ready. And so the idea of ordination, that's my point, is that now you are ready to go. That means, and God deals spiritually. That means spiritually he has made you a success. You are not a seed trying to be successful where you are. He made you successful, then he put you there. Let me give you an example. If two nations are fighting, all right, and they are going to use missiles, nuclear bomb, okay, would the nation with the missile say, let us just fire it in case it will be successful? Is that what they'll do? Because if they're not sure, it can do boomerang and come back and hit them. So before they send the missile out, they are sure it will be successful.
Yes.
So if he chose you and ordained you and then planted you where you are, that means success is not a question anymore.
Glory to God.
He is sure. If man will not send a missile out, a weapon of war out, until they are sure it will succeed, how much more God? And that's why we say it doesn't matter where you are. You can be successful there.
Yes, Pastor.
You can be successful there. Let's finish this. It says, and ordain you that ye should go and bring forth fruits, and that your fruits should remain. Look at his focus. He's expecting fruits. He's expecting results from where you are. He's expecting another one like you. That's what he's expecting. You have someone say, I want to see a vision first to be sure I should be in Nigeria. What do you need a vision for? You don't need a vision. He already told you, he planted you. Some say, but I'm still living. Okay, but you're still here. So while you're here, focus on being here and what he's called you to do. So firstly, say this. Say, I'm planted.
I am planted.
I am God's seed.
I am God's seed.
Have you ever seen a farmer that plants a seed and forgets about the seed?
No.
No, there are farmers like that. When I was in primary school, they told us to plant corn. Did you have that exercise too while you were in school?
Yes.
Some of us forgot our corn. We went to start looking at other people's corn. This one is my own. Why? Terrible farmers, all of us. But he's a good farmer. And if the hairs of your head are numbered, that means every seed, he knows their location. He knows. When you begin to have gratitude and be grateful where you are, your eyes will now be open to the resources that you actually have where you are. This country that people don't like so much, are they not billionaires here? The richest person in Africa is from this place that people, you know. Okay, I know you guys are the richest people. But according to Forbes, he's from the same country where you have someone struggling to go to Canada. Struggling. Now he's entering bottle. They put him inside ship. Why? But where is he going to? Not an important place. Somewhere, Morocco. At least he's going abroad. Someone said, I'm traveling out. Where are you going to? Togo. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know why some of you laughed? You know, no matter how bad Nigeria is, that Togo, the way it sounds, doesn't sound like promotion. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that means, while you are busy struggling to leave that company, God is very mindful that you are still in that company. And he wants you to succeed there. And the Spirit of God will function with you in the now. He wants to work with you concerning your environment. You know, we talk about the Spirit of God as being the helper to help whatever shortcomings you might have. Being the standby. So in case you forgot something, the Spirit of God is there. All of that is nice. But his primary purpose for coming was for the gospel. That was his primary purpose of coming. All right, so let's look at this. How do you take advantage of where you are? What does the Spirit of God want to do with your life where you are? We can learn from Jesus. He's the one who said to the Samaritan woman, he said, if you knew the gift of God and the one who's talking to you, you ask him for living water. Who's the gift of God? The Spirit of God. So I'm saying that we can learn from Jesus how he walked with the Spirit in a particular location. Everybody knows, every serious Christian knows about the Samaritan well. Right?
Yes.
That's a location. And Jesus did something with it. And then showed us what the Spirit of God's intent is in wherever location you have found yourself. John 4. You'll be so amazed. John 4, verse 7. Let's start from 6. Verse 6. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. Verse 6. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, so he was tired, sat thus on the well, and it's about the sixth hour. Now, if you're going somewhere and you are tired, and that is not your final destination, you are more conscious about leaving that place. Let me give you an example. If you are going from Ajegunle, for example, to Unilag, and the bus stops at Ojoelegba, Ojoelegba is not your final destination. So what's on your mind is your bed at Unilag. Right? So your hope for things to come, the future you're looking at is unilag. You are not really conscious about where you are right now. Because your focus is where you're going to. And then you might be angry with the conductor from where you're coming from. Okay? So the same thing happened with Jesus. He was returning from Judea. He was going to Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. And now he was tired because there was no Uber then. And he sat on the well. So naturally, his focus should be, when I get home, I just want to rest. Because the disciples went to eat. But I want to show you how he owned the place. And that's why even till today, we are still talking about that place. He owned the place. Okay? Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. So here John is telling you, when he said give me to drink, it was an honest request. He was not testing her. That's why he said, the reason he said give me to drink was because his disciples were not there. Are you seeing it? If they were there, they would be the ones you'd ask. But all of them went to buy food. So nobody misses their own. Verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And I always like to point out that she wasn't saying, how can you, a man, be asking me, a woman? No, she was saying, the Jews, that's what she emphasized, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So even if it was a man and it was a Samaritan, you should not be asking him for anything. We don't have business together. Okay, now I want you to see something. I said there's something the Spirit of God wants to bring to your awareness. I want you to see something. Verse 9 again says, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. Hey, what's that? He's getting conscious that the Spirit of God is with him.
Yes,
where you are, where God has planted you, you have to be conscious that the Spirit of God is with you there for a reason. So look at the first thing he said. You know, just digression, I'll get there. You know, at times you see, you know, we say manifestation of the Spirit. Okay?
Yes,
every Christian should walk demonstration of the Spirit. At times I just think, to what end? Just people be falling down because they can? There's a reason. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
There's a reason. There's a purpose. There's a reason why all those things happen. Someone says, I want to walk with the gift of the Spirit. Why? So you become a detective. Say, I see you right now. Yesterday, Edmonds. And they say, wow, you call it? Say, yes. To what purpose? I want to show you how Jesus employed the gift I just said, gave an example of now. How he employed it. And come with me. All right. He says, verse 11. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us a well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Oh, now he's preaching.
Yes.
Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
See how he took the conversation. Now he's preaching. He's saying, if you drink this water, you still need something. He's telling her that there's a void in your life. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
He's showing her a state. There's something missing in your life. Let's read this. It says, verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know, this is akin to when people say, if you receive the Spirit of God, things will change. Because what was that water? The Spirit. So Jesus is ministering to this woman. He said, now, if you drink this water, you'll be thirsty again. But there's something I can give you that when you receive, you'll never thirst again. You'll be satisfied. We say, John 10 verse 10, The thief coming not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it to the full. So they'll be satisfied. That's what I'm saying. When you realize you are planted where you are, there'll be satisfaction. Let's finish this story. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now he has her attention. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered. Now, you know, people can easily say, Jesus will not minister to you until your husband is there. Because I don't know, the way people used to understand things is very interesting. The next verse should tell you that obviously, he knew firstly she didn't have a husband, she had had before. That was not the focus. Let's read this. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. What is that? That is the gift, the word of prophecy. You know, have you ever seen in meetings people go, you came from, you know, Anambra, you, I can see your home. Right now, they are pounding pepper. Where did they learn this from? Jesus. He was the first person to do this. He said, yeah, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands. So immediately the woman said, you're a prophet. But see how easy it was for him to function with the Spirit of God when he recognized he was in the right place and he was doing the right thing at the right time. Let's finish this. It says, for thou hast, verse 18, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that says thou truly. So you're saying the correct thing. Now he's telling her about her life. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then she tried to digress and started talking about something else. But when she left him, that prophecy did not leave her. What she went and started telling other people was, come and see a man that told me everything I did. So is this not the Christ? So here's the point. The ministration of the Spirit at that point was what convicted her. But there's something I want you to see in this storyline. So let's go to 29. Or 28. The woman then left her water pot. Are you following me?
Yes, Pastor.
The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, that means before they came, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Remember, at the beginning of this story, he was tired. He wanted water. You know, at times when you're hungry, you want to start with water first to hold your stomach while the food is cooking. All right? So that's what started the conversation. It's hunger. Now look at this. Therefore said his disciples one to another, at any man... Okay, wait. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Someone that was hungry before. Now they are begging him to eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, had any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, said he will take of mine and show unto you. He called him another comforter. Because the Spirit of God is not different from Jesus. Now, if Jesus' meat is ministry, what is the Spirit of God's meat? Ministry. What is meat? Meat is something you want. Something you like. Thank God he didn't say fish. He said meat. That means something you desire. If you want to walk with the Holy Spirit, he is the boss. So you have to walk with his desires. You don't control him. He is the one in charge. And his meat, his desire, we were talking about you being planted where you are. What is his desire?
where you've been planted. What is his meat? What is he looking forward to? I told you, he said he's expecting fruits. And how do you get these fruits? By preaching. That is what gives him excitement. That is how you maximize the knowledge that where you are, he kept you there to produce fruits. And you know what? Once you are ready, he's ready to walk with you. He is. All the tongues that you're tonguing, all the gifts of the Spirit that you want. To what purpose? To this end. You want to produce fruits. You want to win souls. At times I just think, while we talk about growth, spiritual growth, as Christians, and all the wonderful things that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, the fundamental still remains the same. The first thing on Jesus' mind, when he appeared to his disciples in Matthew 28, he said, go. Go and teach all nations. But where you are, you might not have a loudspeaker that they can hear from China. But where you are, he planted you there. To have fruits there. To produce results there. While you want to leave that place, don't lose sight that right there, you're kept there for a reason. There's an unbeliever there God wants to talk to. You know, preaching the gospel is so easy. Do you know? It's so easy. Just start with the question, are you born again? The ones that are not, so say, yes. And if they stop, are we together?
Yes,
you know, if you say, are you born again? They say, no. And they go, okay. But if you say, are you born again? They say, yes. And they stop. He has trapped them for you.
Yes.
That means they want to hear what you have to say.
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Go to 1 Peter. When this is your focus, then what is stopping you? He says you're a good seed. You're in a good location. So what is stopping you when you go to minister to someone? You still just have to be conscious of it. And God, the Spirit of God will walk with you. While you're talking to the person, you know what's happening to the person. Some people have never experienced that before because they're not expecting it. Now I'm telling you what would happen. Because it's not hard. If the Spirit of God lives inside of you, are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
When I was in university, I think that was year 3, we used to learn a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. Ah! Some of you in that era, you know that time. That was a dispensation. The gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge. So say, pray for one gift. Say, I just want one gift. The gift of miracles. The gifts of this, you should pray. And there were messages and books on that, and we took all of them in. But when I started studying the word, my attention began to shift to something else. All right? Okay. That verse that he always used, I saw it in a different light. And I began to realize that if the Holy Ghost, who was supposedly the giver of all the gifts, say 9 gifts of the Spirit, okay?
Yes, Pastor.
If that Holy Ghost lived inside of me, that means I have access to all of them. It then becomes a choice of what he wants. So he says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each man. So today it could be word of knowledge, tomorrow it could be prophecy, but he has not left me, so everything is still there. And that's why when Jesus walked on the earth, his focus was when the Spirit comes. Because when he comes, everything you need is there. But to what purpose? To what purpose? To do ministry. That's why it's there. So when you go to me, someone says, am I you born again? He said, can I pray for this thing? I can imagine what the Spirit of God will be doing inside of you. He said, can I lay my hands on this? You know, you are ready. He said, can I lay my hands? The Bible says your very bodies are the members of Christ. Your hand is his hand. Can I lay my hands? Can I do something? And you're not too small or too inexperienced for him to use. Someone says, but where I am is not good. That's why we are telling you that he planted you there. Meaning that, and I told you, he already made you a success. So see the soul winning we are doing. You're already a success in it. That means you can do it. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
this demonstration of the Spirit. I told you, he already made you a success before he sent you out. That means you're already a success in demonstrating the Spirit. That means you can do it. You can. You know, at times, you have people who think it's too easy. I remember someone was replying one of my status messages when I was saying that, what extra thing did Peter need before he walked on water? What extra thing? They weren't praying. They weren't fasting. All he needed to do to walk on water was to hear what Jesus said and follow the instruction.
Yes.
It was that simple. When he sent them out, what extra thing did they need? Jesus just said, go, preach, heal the sick, raise the dead. And they said, oh, we should do that. I said, yes, okay. And they went. Now, these ones were not even born again. You are. And the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. What extra thing do you need? But when you think you're not good enough, you're already missing it. You are. That's why he called you good seed. He didn't say not good enough seed. He said good seed. Meaning you are. There's some of you, you've had that experience when you're talking to someone and your eyes just focused on the person's toe. I'm talking to the person, but your mind can't get off the toe. What was happening? The Spirit of God was pointing you. There's something with that toe. You know, like we said, when you're still growing up, you enter a bus, about to have an accident. God, since you're a baby, God is going to use every method to get you down. I remember one message, and that always makes me laugh. How that he would send someone who is selling gala. Do you remember that message?
Yes.
He's shouting, calm down, calm down. Everybody's hearing by gala. You are hearing, calm down, calm down, calm down. Because he wants you to leave that bus. So here's my point. There are times when your ministry and Spirit of God wanted to get involved, but nobody told you that it was him. And so you left it. But now I'm telling you that if you're involved with his major project, he's going to express himself through you. Just be open. Someone says, what if I tell them and it's not true? Thank God. It's not about you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It's not about you. But the time when I used to give the word of knowledge, before I gave it, it was a struggle. Me and Holy Ghost fights. But people didn't know. I was in church looking nice and normal. But in my mind, ha! No way. And Spirit of God said, it's not about you. Because if you give that word of knowledge to someone who is ill, they need to hear it to be okay. So what if they don't come out? Eh? It's not new. Listen, Jesus, that woman, you remember that woman? That the woman with the issue of blood that touched his garment? She left. She left. Jesus had to stop and they had to go and start looking for the woman. That's what the Bible says. When she found that she could not be healed, that means they were coming close. So at times in a meeting or you're talking to three people, one of them, that's the issue. You're talking about their issue, but they don't want to come out. You might not have time to go and be saying, it's you. But then why did he tell us the story in Mark chapter 5 of the woman with issue of blood? To tell you that there are people that get healed and they don't want to say anything.
Yes.
Remember in Luke 17, those 10 lepers?
Yes.
How many came back to say something that happened to them? But Jesus knew, was sure himself. If there were some people, not you guys, you start thinking, well, at least out of 10, one got healed. Meanwhile, all 10 of them did. And only one came back. But Jesus knew himself. He said, so you mean only one? It is that man that told you, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I know people, you tell them their story, they will argue with you. Say, it's not me. It's not me. Say, no, but your relative can't walk. Say, all my relatives can walk in Jesus' name. It's not me. I remember we had this meeting in National Stadium. One lady came out and she said, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want anybody to know. I just want to say that I had this issue. I was healed. At least she came out. But she was telling me in confidence, in front of everybody. I wonder what she thought. She said, this is the issue. It's private. So my point is, what you think did not work actually did. Because Jesus said it would. It would. Actually did. And so the Spirit of God is willing to walk with you, but you have to take advantage of your place. Recognize where you are. That is your place. This is your time. And do what He wants. What His desire is. At your workplace. That guy everybody has written off. Why don't you go talk to him? Are you born again? It's that simple. And, praise the Lord. I said 1 Peter, right? So let's quickly go there. 1 Peter 1. Rounding up. What can God do with your life? Look at that woman at the well. The only thing she needed, Jesus did not work a miracle for her, do you know? She didn't even know him until that afternoon. He has not been so good to her as he has been to you. But just the prophecy about her situation was compelling enough for her to go and tell others to come and see this man. But he planted you where you are. He's been very good to you. What is stopping you from telling others to come and see him? The Bible says most of them came because of the woman's word. Most of them came. That was where Jesus made the statement, the harvest is plenty. He says, but the laborers are few. Anytime I read that, I'm always so happy. Because it takes all the pressure off. He says they are ready. You know that's been our devotional headline. They are waiting for you. He says they are ready. The Spirit of God is the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is His own. That's why He came. That's why you're here. And He wants to walk with you. But you have to move beyond yourself. Everything is already okay with you. And do what He wants. First Peter 1, quickly. Verse 12. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You know, another description of the Holy Spirit is worker, laborer. Bible says we are workers together with God. That means He's a worker. We are laborers together with him. That means He came to work. In that your environment, He wants to work. He wants to labor. He's ready. Mark 16. Mark 16. You've been faithful, Lord, from the ages past. And we know your name is for. Sing it like he's listening to you. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. Like he's by your side.
from the ages past, and we know your name is forevermore.
Yeah, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. You see, even in your understanding of the word of God, someone says, I want to know the word of God better. This is the starting point for every Christian. This is the instruction you should follow. When you want to win souls, you will understand the word of God better.
Yes.
Because now, you're seeing people through his eyes. So you see the word of God the way he sees it, the way he said it. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. This is what Christians like, right? It says, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? But all of this is happening while they are going. He says, go and preach. So they must be on the move for this to mean anything. If you're not on the move, you can still be doing it. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't. That's why Jesus said, and the last people come and say, Lord, Lord, did you not cast out devils in your name?
Yeah.
So what he was trying to say in that verse, okay? He's trying to say that casting out devils is not a big deal to God. He told them again in Luke 10, when he sent the 70 and they came back. They said, Master, even the devils are subject to us in your name. I think about it. A whole Bartholomew. He told the demon out and it went. Ah! Look at Thomas. The doubter. He told the blind eyes open and they did. Hey! They made it. They came back. That was what impressed them the most. He said, Master, even the devils. And Jesus said, no, that's not what you should rejoice about. Meaning, it's not a big deal. This thing we emphasize so much to God, it's not a big deal. He says, instead, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Soul winning is more important to God. Every other thing will just follow. While you are going, it's not a big deal. It is people that will see it and go, ha, 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 ha. But God, what is opening blind eyes to God? Okay, question. What is opening blind eyes to God? Nothing. He made the eye. Remember when Moses started arguing with him and said, I cannot talk. The Bible says the anger of God was kindled. God said, come, who made the tongue? Who made it? I mean, even God was surprised. Look at this guy. Who do you think you're talking to? So who made the tongue? Imagine reporting to God that the reason why you cannot go is because you cannot talk. who made everything in your body? But this is where his passion is, that you are effective where he placed you. So all of these signs, say these are signs, but they must be on the go. They must be going. And he doesn't stop there. He says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
They went. They started going and preached everywhere. Then look at that. He says, the Lord walking with them. So while they were going, he was with them. What was he doing? He says, confirming the word with signs following. Working with them, confirming it. Before they say anything, bam, he has done it. He was working with them. They were all going on the move. Say the move of the Spirit. That's the move of the Spirit. He's going and you're going with him. And he's working with you with signs following. Your desire to be a spiritual juggernaut should not be a selfish one. Spiritual juggernautness is not in this miracle signs demonstration of spirit. It's in knowing the Lord. That was what Jesus thought was a premium. He says, if you have known me, you have known my Father. That was his prayer request to God. when it came to us. He says, I in you, and they in us. He says that they may be perfectly one. So when it came to the Christian and spiritual growth, it was about knowledge. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So once you have received eternal life, your walk with God is about knowing him. But then you have a ministry to minister to others, and he will go with you, confirming what you're saying with signs following. So you want, this is Spirit Bible class. This is what the Spirit of God is saying to you. He wants to walk with you. But you have to live in the present, knowing that he put you where you are to function with you and produce results. That's why you're there, to produce results. And you know the good part? I said earlier when I started, this is where we end. I said, if you're a seed, then there is a farmer. And the farmer should water the seed. And the seed should have the right exposure of sunlight. The word of God is light. And so when you listen to the word, that is sunlight. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
that is sunlight. Now, for example, you just learned the word about soul winning. You know what? You're going to be more productive. You're going to win more souls. Because you've heard the word. That is sunlight. Then it says water. That's the Spirit of God. The anointing of the Spirit. You need that from time to time. Are you in this place?
Yes,
you need that from time. That's why I said he gave unto some pastors, teachers, apostles. He said for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So they come as seed. They are watered by the Spirit. They receive the sunlight of the word. Now they can what? Multiply. Become more fruitful. And that is what? The work of the ministry through the Spirit. That's the work of the ministry. So you need to hear the word of God consistently, and you need the anointing of the Spirit. Wisdom, the Bible says, he that winneth souls, that's a wise man. So who's the foolish man? The one who has no interest. He gets that job and all he thinks about is his promotion. He has lost sight of the fact that he's been in that company. He was planted there to be wise, to win souls, to be productive. He has lost sight of that. All his focus is the next level, until he entered the final level in front of the Lord Jesus. And what does he have? So he was not wise. Even though it was God that placed him. Because people think that it's my intelligence. If you're a Christian, you're a child of the kingdom, it cannot be just that. It can be. God planted. He said the walls were framed. The reason why that company exists in your day is because God framed that company to exist in this time. For some companies, they didn't exist 3 years ago. Right? I don't even have to think so much. Facebook was not in existence when I was a small child. Now that was Instagram or Google. I remember Yahoo though. That's where Yahoo came from. So every company, every industry that is present right now, where you're working right now, God set them there. And he thought that industry was good soil for you. So he wants to be productive. And then when you make up your mind to be, everything will have a purpose to you. Now you know why healing the sick is so important. Now you know why the word of prophecy, word of knowledge, they are so important. It's for a purpose. Speak in other tongues.